Have you ever wondered where a gut feeling actually comes from? That deep, unshakable sense that something is right or terribly wrong, long before your conscious mind has caught up?
All the time. It's that internal compass. For me, it's always been about reading a room. You walk in and you just feel the tension or the joy. It's not something you see, it's something you sense internally.
Exactly. And that's what's so fascinating to me and why I've been so excited for this conversation. We're so used to thinking about the brain in terms of logic and reason, but so much of our human experience is driven by this internal landscape of feeling.
Which brings us to today's topic. We're pulling back the curtain on one of the most mysterious and influential parts of the brain, a region some call the silent diplomat.
That's right, we're talking about the insular cortex, or simply the insula.
It's this small, hidden island of gray matter tucked away deep in the brain that's quietly shaping our entire emotional world.
It's the bridge, isn't it? The bridge between what our body is physically experiencing, our heartbeat, our breathing, that knot in our stomach, and how we consciously perceive those signals as emotions. It's the very heart of emotional intelligence.
It really is. We're going to explore how this one area helps us understand ourselves, empathize with others, and navigate the incredibly complex world of social interaction. It's a journey into the very essence of what makes us feel.
So the real question we're asking today is, how does this silent diplomat work, and what can we learn by finally starting to listen to what it has to say?
Well, to answer that, we have to start with a process called interoception. It sounds technical, but it's something we all experience every single second.
It's the brain's ability to sense the inner state of the body.
So not just what we see or hear, but what's happening inside our skin?
Precisely. Think about it. Your brain is constantly receiving this flood of information. What's your heart rate? Your body temperature? Are you hungry? Thirsty? Is there a subtle ache in your back?
That knot in your stomach we were talking about
So
earlier.
that's a perfect example. All of those signals from the cardiovascular system, the respiratory system, the gut, they all travel up to the brain. And the insula, it's the primary receiving dock for this raw internal data.
Okay, so it's a data collector. But that's just physical information, right? How does a fast heartbeat become the feeling of anxiety or a warm feeling in your chest become love? There's a huge leap there.
There is, and that leap is the insula's real magic. It doesn't just collect the data, it interprets it. It weaves it into a story. It takes that raw signal, the racing heart, and it looks for context.
Context? You mean like what's happening around me at that moment?
Exactly that. Is your heart racing because you're on a treadmill? The insula reads that and might generate a feeling of exertion, maybe even accomplishment. But is your heart racing because you're about to give a speech to 1,000 people?
Then it's definitely not accomplishment. It's dread. It's panic.
And that's the insula at work. It's integrating that internal physical signal with the external environmental cues. It says heart rate is high, pupils are dilated, palms are sweaty, and we're standing on a stage. It synthesizes all of that into the subjective conscious feeling we label as anxiety.
Wow, so it's not just a passive receiver, it's an active storyteller. It's creating our emotional reality based on physiological evidence.
It's the ultimate method actor. It feels the part physically and then generates the emotion to match. This is why emotional intelligence is so deeply tied to it.
Someone with a finely tuned insula can more accurately read their own bodily signals.
And therefore more accurately understand what they're truly feeling. Not just what they think they should be feeling.
You've got it. It's the difference between saying I'm fine and recognizing, actually, my shoulders are tense, my breathing is shallow. I think I'm more stressed about this than I realize.
That's a profound thought, that self-awareness isn't just a psychological exercise, it's a physiological one. It's literally about learning to listen to this hidden part of your brain, translating messages from your own body.
And it's a skill, right? That's the thing. Listening to your body isn't some mystical ability. It's a physiological process. And like any process, there's a spectrum of proficiency. Some people are just naturally more attuned to those internal signals.
Wait, so you're saying some people are just born with a better functioning insula, like having perfect pitch, but for your own insides? That's wild.
In a way, yes. Researchers have ways of testing this. They'll do something called a heartbeat detection task. They'll ask you to say, count your heartbeats in a minute without taking your pulse.
Some people are astonishingly accurate.
And others, I'm guessing, are way off.
Completely. They might guess 40 when it's 80. It's not about intelligence, it's about the clarity of that brain-body connection. For them, the signal from the heart to the insula is, well, it's like a staticky radio station. They know music is playing, but they can't make out the tune.
Huh. So that person who always seems to know they're getting sick a day before the symptoms show up, they're probably one of the accurate ones. They're catching the subtle internal cues of their immune system kicking into gear.
That's a perfect way to think about it. Their insula is getting a clear broadcast. But this brings up a really crucial question. What happens when the storyteller, the insula, gets the story wrong? What if the broadcast is clear, but the interpretation is flawed?
Oh, wow. So the data is coming in fine, but the analysis is off. What would that even look like?
Well, think about panic disorder. Studies have shown that people who experience panic attacks aren't necessarily having more intense physical symptoms, but they have a heightened sensitivity to them.
A small, normal palpitation that you or I might ignore? Their insula receives that signal and interprets it as a 5-alarm fire.
So it screams heart attack when the body is just saying, you know, I just climbed a flight of stairs.
Precisely. It creates this terrifying feedback loop. The insula misinterprets a benign signal, which generates a feeling of intense fear. That fear then triggers a real fight-or-flight response, more adrenaline, a genuinely faster heart rate, which then provides the insula with even more evidence that its catastrophic story is correct.
That's devastating. It means the feeling is completely real, even if the initial trigger wasn't a real threat. It's not in their head in a dismissive sense. Their brain is acting on what it genuinely perceives as life-threatening physiological data.
And it's not just about overinterpretation. Sometimes the problem is the opposite. The signal is just muffled.
Interesting. There's a condition called alexithymia, which is often associated with other things like autism spectrum disorder, where a person has immense difficulty identifying and describing their own emotional states.
They can't tell what they're feeling?
Or they can't distinguish between feelings. Is this anxiety? Or am I just hungry? Is that sadness? Or am I just tired?
The internal landscape is a fog because the insula isn't able to translate those raw bodily signals into distinct, recognizable emotions.
It's like trying to read a book where all the punctuation is gone. The words are there, but the meaning, the feeling behind them, is completely lost. You can't tell a question from a statement.
What a great analogy. And that's the core of it. The insula provides the emotional punctuation for the story our body is telling us.
Without it, we're just left with a stream of confusing, undifferentiated physical noise.
This is a lot more complex than just gut feelings. It makes you wonder if this system can be so out of tune, either too loud, like in panic, or too quiet, like in alexithymia. Is it set for life? Or can you actually train your insula? Can you learn to be a better listener to your own body?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? And the exciting answer, from what the research is showing, is yes. It seems you can. It's not like building a muscle in the gym exactly, but the principle is similar. You can train your attention.
So how? What does that training look like? Are we talking about, I don't know, sitting in a quiet room trying to feel your liver? What's the actual practice?
You're surprisingly close with the quiet room part, actually. The most studied techniques are things like meditation and mindfulness.
Of course, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. There are practices built entirely around redirecting your focus inward.
Precisely. There are formal practice of paying attention to interoceptive sensations, the breath, the subtle shifts in the body. And studies show that consistent practice can actually modify the structure and function of the insula.
So you're literally strengthening that connection. You're cleaning the static from that radio broadcast we were talking about earlier.
You're turning up the volume and learning to distinguish the instruments. But here's a fascinating wrinkle. It might not be a blanket improvement.
Some research suggests that getting really good at, say, breath monitoring doesn't necessarily mean you're suddenly better at sensing your heartbeat. The skills can be quite specific.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's not a global upgrade. It's more like developing a refined palate for different internal sensations, which, I guess makes sense. You're training your brain to notice specific data streams.
Exactly. And it's not just meditation. There are other, more, shall we say, intensive approaches being explored. Things like float tanks, sensory deprivation tanks.
Oh, wow. I've always been curious about those. The idea is that with nothing else to focus on, you have no choice but to listen to your body?
That's the theory. Over time, it might help people become more tolerant of those internal signals, especially for those with anxiety, where the signals themselves have become a source of fear.
And I saw something about heat? Whole body hypodermia for depression? That sounds intense.
It is, but the logic is fascinating. We know depression often involves increased inflammation. The idea is that by using heat to reduce that physical inflammation, you might also reduce the depressive feelings that the insula is interpreting from those inflammatory signals.
You're treating the body to treat the mind's interpretation of the body. It completely flips the script.
It really does. It all points to this incredible future where treatments could become much more personalized. One proposal that I found absolutely mind-blowing was the idea of creating an interoceptive profile.
A what? Like a fingerprint for your gut feelings?
Sort of. Imagine using different challenges, respiratory, cardiovascular, to map out an individual's unique interoceptive strengths and weaknesses. Where are their signals clear? Where are they muffled or misinterpreted? You could then create a treatment plan tailored specifically to that person's internal world.
That is a paradigm shift. Moving away from a one-size-fits-all diagnosis to something completely bespoke, it feels like the ultimate embodiment of know thyself.
It really does. And for me, that's the biggest takeaway from all of this.
We've spent so long thinking of the mind and body as separate entities, but the insula shows us they are in a constant, profound conversation.
Our emotional health isn't just in our thoughts. It's in our tissues, our heartbeats, our breath.
Yeah. My final thought is a little different, I think. I'm just struck by the sense of agency this gives us, the idea that this isn't a fixed system, that we can learn to listen better, that we can become better interpreters of our own internal story. It makes me feel hopeful. It feels like a skill we can all start practicing right now just by taking a moment to check in.
A beautiful way to put it. It's a conversation that's always happening, and we're just learning how to tune in. It's been such a pleasure diving into this with you.
You too. It's given me a whole new appreciation for that silent diplomat. To all of our listeners, thank you for joining us on this journey inward. Until next time, take a deep breath and listen.